Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. AC hasn't called in yet, but hey, it's cool. I probably will. But I was really thinking about some stuff from my last show, and I asked. I was asked to go ahead and get a little research on it. I did very little. I could have did a lot because it's a lot of information on this. The black population in America on decline. And it all the stuff I saw said, yeah. Like, wow. In the worst ways. It started to get a little bit depressing, so I just got up last and went outside and got me a bottle of wine. Got drunk and threw it at my neighbor's cat. Hit that noisy damn thing. But, hello there.
Hello, how are you?
All right, how are you?
I'm well.
Good, good. You want to hear that depressing news?
What depressing news? I heard you say that the research got depressing to you, and I could believe it.
Wow, but you know, something I was saying, that it's like a lot of, you know, black people moving around from city to city.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cities were, oh.
So what was the major, what was one of the major factors of the decline of the population, the black people in America?
Money, jobs, people turning on each other. And that's it. Lack of money flow.
I was speaking with one of my coworkers, and he seems to think that the reason why the population has declined would be because a lot of people, well, he says a lot of people that come to America are not black, which makes it seem like a decline when actually other races are actually coming forward, or they're increasing their size in this country. But I'm like, I think maybe, and I grew up in a small city in upstate New York, and it at a point, the killing there was at least over 100 every year. And this is a good 10 years worth of killing 100 or more people. You're thinking teenagers, kids, I mean, mostly kids. These kids could have, you know, maybe 2 to 3 kids of their own. You don't think that's a decline, a reason for the decline?
Because they're not surviving. After looking after that, they're giving birth, but you know, we're giving birth, but a lot of people, we're killing each other.
Yeah, where you know they would make jokes and say stuff like, the black man is an endangered species, things like that. But you know, when you think about it, it's not really funny.
It's not.
If he's endangered, then we're endangered too. The black woman.
Exactly.
We need him.
Exactly. And where's that?
I want to know what exactly depressed you.
The thing that, that we're not doing nothing about it. That we a lot of people are accepting what's there, and then just seems to get worse. After looking at the numbers and when people moving around and people dying and that stuff, man, I was like, man, what are you doing about it, man? Nobody don't seem to be doing too much about it. Or they don't want to go ahead and try to latch onto a plan to do something about it. Got too many people and going in a bunch of different directions, talking nonsense, talking crazy.
The thing now is black men kill each other and black women are dying off from HIV/AIDS.
I saw that thing in it. What was that? That was in Georgia, Atlanta.
Where?
Well, they were saying it was a high rate of black women in that area. I think that was there. It said at a higher rate of HIV over there in Atlanta.
You know, a lot of times I'll find this out when they do those studies, they do those studies with the heroin addicts.
Wow.
A lot of the you know, the people that make up those studies, it'd be a lot of heroin addicts. Like, they did one a couple of years ago, and they did it in a certain zip code. And the whole zip code is known for being linked with heroin. And, you know, you're thinking, they try to say that, well, it's the sex thing. It's the sex thing, and, you know, it's a heterosexual disease and everything like that. But a lot of those people were contracting HIV through needle sharing.
Yeah, you know, I always say you got to go here when you hear that kind of information. It's, hey, this percentage of women is such and such, and all that. You always got to question the people putting out the information, man.
Yeah, where are they getting the information from? Because, you know, I would think that when I found out where they did the study at, I'm like, that's really biased right there. You're going to come to a neighborhood that is known for heroin. I mean, known for heroin. And do an HIV study, duh. I mean, that goes without saying that it's probably a high rate of HIV and hepatitis C in the community where it's a lot of heroin addicts. Not saying that, you know, some young kids is not going around with it, but I just think that's kind of biased.
Mm.
Like the whole, oh, Atlanta is gay. Yeah, any city is gay if you hang out where the gay people hang out at. So.
Yeah, that's what everybody keep pushing around.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been here 10 years. I've never seen, like, a big influence of gay people unless I went past a party that they having or something like that. Other than that, I mean, why would they be around straight people?
Yeah, it's brainwashed.
Straight, you walk to, I don't even know where the gay club is, but it's
brainwashed.
The gay city.
Brainwashing and stereotyping, you know, just going ahead taking one thing and just making it bigger than what it is.
And we do it to ourselves. We need to stop that.
It's hard. It's some people it's just embedded in them. It's, can't stop. Honestly, I got a relative like that, man. She's been like that for years. She just can't see peace and just let everything just be like peaceful and everybody's harmonizing and getting along. She got to go ahead and, hey, you know, he was talking about your girlfriend. Hey, don't that girl got some ugly ones? I was like, oh, man, look at her. She's 80-something years old. She's still doing that shit. For real. I was like, I was sitting there, man, shaking my head, man, like, man, you old. Oh. Yeah.
What is the example that we set, and that everything is going to be crazy for the younger generation if we don't set better examples? And I think in the age that we live in with technology, people need to inspire their kids more to be creative with the technology rather than to be followers with the technology.
But how do you go ahead and get the kids to be inspired when the parents still don't have no inspiration?
I don't know. It would be hard to have a kid and look in their eyes and not be able to inspire them.
No. Some people need to be hit in the head with sticks. Wake your ass the fuck up, man. This is real here. Wake up. Smack. Knock the shit out your ass. Some people need that. Okay, you know what?
Like, you used to do that.
You know what? I think we need to put together a crew just for that. You're going to be the official stick knocking the head people. You know, wake them up. Right?
Can we?
Yeah, you can be head of the committee. recruit all you want. Go ahead and start recruiting people.
Yes.
Say that again?
I said, where's the gift?
I don't know. I was checking on
I really did think he wanted to talk about that, the decline of the population. I thought he really had something to tell us.
Yeah, you know what? Let me take a little break. Let me play something real fast, man, and let me try to find him, okay?
Yeah.
Always good to hear some Malcolm.
There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food. But he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, the master said, we got a good house here. The house Negro said, yeah, we got a good house here. Whenever the master said we, he said we. That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, what's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick. He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, let's run away, let's escape, let's separate, the house Negro would look at you and say, man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this? That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, I'm the only Negro out here. I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school who nothing but a house Negro. And if someone come to you right now and say, let's separate, you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. What you mean, separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa. That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa. On that same plantation, there was a field Negro. The field Negro, those were the masses. There was always more Negroes in the field than there was Negroes in the house. The Negro in the field caught hell. He ate leftovers. In the house, they ate high up on the hog. The Negro in the field didn't get nothing but what was left of the insides of the hog. They call them Shetlands nowadays. In those days, they call them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes. And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated his master. When the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind, for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. You got field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. Masters are the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble. Imagine a Negro, our government. I even heard one say our astronauts. They won't even let him near the plant. And our astronauts. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. That's a Negro that's out of his mind.
Just as the slave master in that day, you come, the house Negro, to keep the field Negro in check. The same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Tom's, 20th century Uncle Tom's, to keep you and me in check, keep us under control, keep us passive and peaceful. In nonviolence. That's Tom making you nonviolent. It's like when you go to the dentist and the man is going to take your tooth. You're going to fight him when he starts to. So they squirt some stuff in your jaw called Novocaine to make you think they're not doing anything to you. So you sit there and coach, you got all that Novocaine in your jaw, you suffer peacefully. There's nothing in our book, the Quran, as you call it, Quran, teaches us to suffer peacefully. Our religion teaches us to be intelligent, be peaceful, be courteous, obey the law, respect everyone. But if someone puts his hand on you, send him to the cemetery. That's a good religion. In fact, that's that old time religion. That's the one that Ma and Pa used to talk about. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a head for a head, and a life for a life. That's a good religion. And then anybody, no one, resents that kind of religion being taught but a wolf who intends to make you his meal. This is the way it is with the white man in America. He's a wolf, and you a sheep. Anytime a shepherd, a pastor, teach you and me not to run from the white man, and at the same time teachers don't fight the white man, he's a traitor to you and me. Don't lay down our life all by itself. No. Preserve your life. It's the best thing you got. And if you got to give it up, let it be even Stephen.
Words from Brother Malcolm. Hey, sister, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I couldn't contact AC. Well, he was out. But I was reading over something real quick. Let me try to back up here. Because most of the stuff that I have here is just talking about, you know, black people moving from the cities says blacks living in the city limits of Atlanta declined by 61% to 63%, while the number of blacks living in metropolitan Atlanta increased to 40%, to suggest that blacks are moving to the suburban areas. Yeah. And then it says like 200,000 people that Chicago lost, 180,000 were black. But I know here that didn't talk about the people that they moved, you know, forced to move out of a lot of the housing projects to the western suburbs.
Yeah, it seems like they are forcing people to move to suburbs. Like,
yeah, they just up to the country where it's like hard. It gets a little bit harder. Life gets harder out there for them.
And it's no transportation. I know here in Atlanta, one of our areas outside the city, they did lose the transportation system. Kind of like you're stuck out there.
Yeah, because it's open to public transportation, and then, like, you don't have no skills to go ahead and get you a beater to go ahead and keep you fixed up, you know. You know, like I see some groups doing, keeping that car together with bubble gum and shoestrings and stuff, man. For real, I'd be like, man.
I mean, anywhere I go, I have made a post on my Facebook page the other day about how, you know, basically, and it goes the same with cars, but I was mainly talking about shoes. Why are black people so obsessed with shoes?
Okay, so I'll get rid of a few of mine. So,
I mean, really, we are. You can't even pawn a pair of shoes if you needed to. But we will spend our last 100, 200, whatever amount it is, I wear kid sizes. So even though I might have a shoe obsession, I'll have to spend a lot of money. But a lot of people are really obsessed with shoes, and I don't see the point. You can see a white guy here replace the heel of his shoe and invest in a shoe company. We kill each other over shoes.
Yeah, and that was something else I saw. I wish I didn't copy that crap about that. But that was like kids killing each other over fashion was like was one of the big things under selling drugs. That was one.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, you know, you can apply that to cars. Black people are also obsessed with cars. A white person to drive the same car until it fall down, and then he'll try and get another used one, and buy a new car, and keep it as long as possible.
But white folks obsessed with cars. I mean, that's why they'll go ahead and they'll find some junker and go ahead and put about $10,000 into it, and then sell it for like $30,000 to another white person.
That's a hobby. going out and getting a car where the book value is maybe $700 to $1,500 and putting $3,000 to $2,000 rims on it, that's ridiculous.
Wow.
You buy a little car and you put one of those expensive paint jobs on it, now you want to change the doors. It's not good for them to open regularly. We need them to open up sideways. And, you know, does that really add real value to the car or street value?
Value.
Our priorities is just backwards. As a people, our priorities is backwards. I don't know what we can do to get them back on track, but by our priorities being so mixed up, I think that we don't notice the decline in the population and how much of America we make up. And it's funny how all of these especially Democrats, they want the black people to be so involved in politics, but you're thinking it's only 13% of us.
Yeah, you know, and that was something I was looking for. That was something I was trying to look at and trying to find some. I need to find more information on that because it seems like it's been at that steady rate for a lot of years. It's been around.
Yes, it's true.
That's the part I didn't find. That's the part I don't really have an opinion on that yet. You know, but we keep staying about that same rate in this country. And we've been surpassed by some others in other areas.
And you think, can you really count the illegals here? Are they counted?
I mean, but even some illegals, you know, some of them are from Africa, too. And blacks from the Caribbean. So how do you count them?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're the ones that they claim are coming over here and taking over, mainly Mexicans. Are they counted? I don't know.
We don't know. You don't know. They don't let you get access to all that stuff.
It's just kind of, it seems like a setup. Kind
of
like,
a lot of it is. A lot of it is. Shoot.
I don't know if you remember John Henry Clark. He did some kind of interview, and he was saying where how he started off, and it was some guy that he really wanted to meet, and he finally got to meet him, and he asked the guy about his history, and the guy told him, you don't have a history. Your people don't have a history.
I think he was talking about when he was in grade school, one of the instructors in grade school, he wanted to talk to him.
Yeah, so then he went to some other guy, and he told him, if you wanted to learn the history of your people, you need to look up the history of the other people.
Yeah.
He said he's on his way, and it's kind of like, it's like that in reverse, to make us forget who we are.
You
know, we're
going
to tell you your people don't exist. We're going to tell you your people are less than what they are, less than the makeup of what they are in this country. We're going to tell you that we only need you when you think it affects you, i.e. politics, when, you know, I don't think we have the power to make anything happen for us across the country, like, oh, our black president. So I just see it as something in reverse. You know, they want us to forget about ourselves and come into being the nobodies that they see us as. You know, we will never come up and rise and fight against the things that stop us from being great and having what we should have in this country if we don't know we deserve it.
Yeah. Sad, isn't it? Earlier today, I was listening to a couple part of it, another show, at African History Network show. I listened to how the guy was talking about we need to go ahead and find these schools and put together schools and a better education system because we're about to fall off pretty much. I feel that same damn way.
Yeah, true. That's what I'm saying with the technology that we have today. We should be going further, not backwards.
Yeah, people are going ahead still fighting over apparel. I don't get that either. I mean, shit, if I can find somebody to go ahead and make it for me cheaper and it still looks good, that's cool.
Gordon Gartrell. I know you remember that.
No, what?
You don't remember the Gordon Gartrell?
No, what was that?
The Cosby Show episode where Theo wanted that shirt, that really expensive shirt, and Denise made it for him.
Oh, yeah, now I remember that. Now I remember that, Oh, yeah. Ooh, you couldn't even wear that in no particular time. If you couldn't, and if you put that on today, it'll probably beat your ass. Don't you wear it? Even back then, it was, ooh,
yeah, that was an ugly ass shirt.
That's an ugly ass shirt. Shit, no. I try to find, I got a couple of people that's pretty good, so.
Ain't like that.
And you know,
but it should be. That's what I'm saying about creativity. Where's the creativity?
Yeah, you know, and this guy is the one guy. I know this other sister. She's good too, but she's really busy. But this one guy who do something like my chef jackets and some other, you know, shirts, shoes, and you know, even do shoes. He can do shoes. He's a cobbler. I mean, some stuff he do, man. This guy is really, really good. But he was trying to teach some kids, and they weren't even interested. I was like, oh man, come on. You know, they thought it was cheap. And I was like, man, y'all crazy, man. And big time pastors go here and hang out with my buddy, man. They be buying this stuff, man. I was like, oh, kids are nuts.
We'll get it together. I hope so.
Oh. Have to. We ain't got no choice. We're falling off. You know, it's getting worse. And when you look at what these politicians are saying, they want to cut out this program, that program. I mean, you're going to have to do something. You better start preparing for that. start getting ready.
This social stuff that these programs that they're giving us, I mean, like, do we really need them? I mean, is it a way that we can't come together? You think about it like I was talking about Fred Hampton last week. Those people put together their own program.
Right.
They didn't wait for the government to come and put programs together for them. And we live in a world today, well, in the society today, where black people think that if the government don't do it, they can't have it.
Right.
And that's
right.
Ridiculous. That's what I mean by this social networking and all of the technology that we have today. You can social network in your hand, whereas back 10 years ago, you had to go and sit somewhere and do it. Not even 10 years ago, but longer than that, I meant to say, I'm thinking maybe like 95, you had to go somewhere and do this. You couldn't do it in the palm of your hand. So, I mean, is it necessary for the government to come and tell you, we have this program and that program, we can help each other. We have doctors, lawyers, educators, nutritionists. We have everything in our community that we
need. Well, you know,
that's
something else. You know, there's a lot of people that I know. This one doctor that actually lives in kind of a messed up neighborhood on one side, and it's nice on the other. She lives like almost on the border on that street. Really nice house. She's a doctor. Her husband's a doctor. And I went to cook for their dinner parties and some other stuff and birthday parties, you know, quite a few times. But she's like, it's like she's rare in the neighborhood, man. she's rare. I mean, some of these other people that go here and they start making that kind of money, they leave. I mean, you walk into her house, that house is really, I was like, man, this house over here, man, shit. I ain't live too far from here, man.
You can't blame them, though.
Yeah, in a way, I do. But that's something. If you was listening to, you listen to some of that stuff that Malcolm X was in that clip. He was talking about that.
I mean, you can't blame them for leaving, because it's so much that you can do for people that don't recognize that you're doing something for them. You know, sometimes people don't want to accept what's going on because it's not what they want. I was listening to Reverend Al Sharpton today, and they were talking about mentoring. And this guy was saying that he's his child mentor. And somebody said to him, you know, when your child is mad at you, your child hasn't spoken to you for about a month or two. And he said, I don't care. That's not my friend. That's my son.
Wow.
So he was saying that in order to mentor, it's not a friend type relationship, because a mentor has to be able to put you in your place and to help you be a better person. So, I mean, to be around people that's not motivated and see the things that's going on, you might have to be distant or absent, and maybe they can see, you know, if you put in hard work, you can have it, you can have more. Or you can help people to have this. so they can have more.
I'm stuck on that. You've been in this, you ain't talked to your son in a long time. Wow. Wow. How do you be in the same house with somebody and don't talk to them that long? I don't get that.
Well, if you got a point to prove, or, you know, if they not speaking to you because they're in the wrong, hey, I could deal with that. I really could. That's their ignorance.
But this fighting and all that fighting stuff ain't cool, man. We need to get along.
Well, the point is that he's not talking to him because he's mad. He corrected him. He'll get over it. I'm with that guy. You know, I'm not your friend. I'm your parent. You don't have to talk to me, but you have to respect me. And as long as I'm not leading you in the wrong direction, you should be willing to go. Even if you do have an attitude, you should know that it's within your best interest in the long run.
The stick. You get the stick, smack him in your head, bap, wake up, we'll move on. Shit, I mean, you know, after a month, man, shit, somebody could be breaking in the house, you'd be pissed off and you go hear me screaming. Fucking ignore that shit. No, man, hell no. The stick, man, let's get on with this. Let's handle this problem right here. Don't be dragging stuff on. That ain't cool.
Well, as a child, you live and learn. The problem is when you get 30, 40, and you still didn't learn.
Another stick. Okay, so yeah, I got to walk around with a few sticks on my belt. Okay, I got this one because you're real stupid. I got this one because you ain't talking to me. Okay. I got this one because you kicked a hole in the wall. Okay.
When is the next show? You got about 45 seconds left.
Oh. No, I don't. The next show is next week. I was thinking about maybe doing it tomorrow. But we can hang. Where you got to go? You got a date or something?
You know, I work.
That was good. Let me play a song real quick. We got a lot of time left. Okay?
It's still longer than an hour?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, great.
I don't wanna leave my baby alone. I don't wanna.
Hello, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. Hey, sister, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Glad, I'm so happy. So nice to hear your voice again. Really nice. Hold on, I got to pull my pants back up. Hey, how you doing, Sister Nancy? Sister Nancy and Brother Dale, you know, a few people supporting us right now. You know, I was, one thing I was looking at, you know, you know, that, because it's kind of hard to go ahead and deal with that, the question of how is the black population on decline. That takes a whole lot more study, because I keep seeing so many different factors that it needs to be looked at and then weighed out. See if I can get me a grant on that. What do you think? You got to get some money on that?
I don't know. Maybe if you put some hip hop with it.
I mean, too, I'm being like Brother Al. You know, hey, look, you know, they be trying to figure out ways to get money. What you learn from Brother Al today?
I don't know. I was looking forward to hearing what he had to say tonight.
Oh, man, I don't know what to just do that, man. I was trying to figure out what's happening with him, but, you know, wait a minute. Not sure what this guy is, but, okay, I didn't just made a big old mistake.
What's that?
Oh, no, don't worry about it. Yeah, I was trying to figure out where he was at, but I'm not sure, so. Let me see, I'm not sure. I think I know who this is. Hello, your line is open. State your name, where you calling from? It's 229. Okay, I'll leave that open. I can hear you breathing. Be all right.
So, yeah. I can hear you breathing.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just listening. My bad, I'm sorry. I didn't even know y'all could hear me. Breathing, that's bad. I need to relax on breathing a little bit.
Yeah, I hear you breathing, man.
Yes, we can hear you. How are you?
I didn't even know. Good. How about y'all?
We all right. Hey, brother, how you feel, man? Do you think the black population in America is on decline? The African-American population?
You said declined?
In decline. You know, is it going down? Is it decreasing? And first off, where you calling from, brother?
I'm calling from Kennesaw.
Who?
Kennesaw. Well, my number is the Thomasville, Georgia number, but I'm up in Kennesaw, Georgia right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in Chicago, so I'm not familiar with a lot of towns down there, man. I mean, that's why it was like,
oh. Okay.
It kind of hit me, so if you know, that's why I say who? Okay. All right, so what do you think, brother?
Me personally, I think it is to a certain extent. I think it's declining, but it's not to nobody else is doing, though. I feel it's to our own doing. Like a lot of African Americans are killing off themselves.
You see that too, huh?
That's what I personally feel and think.
Do you think that they are provoked to kill each other, or do you think they kill each other out of their own ignorance? When I say provoked, I mean like through pressures of society. For instance, you know, there's no jobs out there, so they think they can only sell drugs, and with selling drugs comes envy, and the envy, you might get killed. So I mean, like, do you think it's a hard decision to stay away from those situations that put you in conflict with your brother to make them want to kill you?
Yes, I would say, actually, yeah, that sounds more about right, about how I'm feeling with it.
Yeah, I don't think they know that they're being provoked.
I don't think that it's really being provoked, though, with the whole jaw thing. I just feel they get so caught up in what society says that they are and what the media portrays as the African American brother of an African American sister, and without that guidance being there, they go out and just pour ignorant ignorant jobs on themselves, taking themselves out. Like, everybody wants to be the next Lil Wayne, or, you know, or the next Trina or whatever, instead of actually, you know, trying to better themselves by A, going to school, or working. Like, they just want that street glamorous life, and they'll do anything to get there, which means killing themselves. But little do they know that those people that they see on TV, that call, you know, that so-called street life or whatever, these people are in gated communities, you know.
Good point.
These people ain't lift no fingers to sell no drugs, and if they did, they did it because they had to, you know, to help them get to help provide for their family or whatever, if that was the case. But these people come from good homes, good backgrounds, and while they out making a fool out of us, they're living in some six-bedroom house with two and three security guards in a gated community in the most predominantly white area in the United States.
Hey, hold on, brother. Now, what you just said, man, a friend of mine has a recording studio, and a lot of times he records some of these the rappers. And I live about 45 miles, maybe almost 50 miles west of Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in this area, right, one of my friends got a recording studio. So he records some of the rappers. Now, these guys live out here in this area, but I grew up in the project and some rough areas in Chicago, okay? And so I'm listening to them, and they go ahead and they're in their recording session, and they're in their little booth, and they go ahead and they rapping about, you know, shooting and this and all this other stuff because they got to do this. I'm like, man, I don't see that out here. I ain't see none of that out here. So, man, and I'm trying to go ahead and trying to figure out, like, dude, where I grew up, you know, you had to live like that. But out here, you ain't got to do none of that. And you know, you bringing that fantasy out here to go ahead and make it dangerous. Like, for what? What's the point?
And that's exactly how I feel.
I heard a rap song the other day. I heard Diddy rapping. People don't like Diddy, but that's like, to me, Diddy's like the best person in the world. I'm like his biggest fan. But anyway, Diddy was on a rhyme, and he was rhyming. He said he probably didn't write, but who cares? And he said in his rhyme, "You don't live the shit that's in your lame-ass rhyme." And I kid you not, when I heard that, I said it to myself, what's the point of listening to rap music anyway? I was talking to my brother, and I said, you know, I don't understand Rick Ross. I don't understand the power that he has to influence people. I don't understand why people like his music. I don't understand the glamorization of drug dealing in 2012. I just don't understand it. I mean, you're thinking it's like 20, 30-year-old adults that were crack babies. They grew up doing this. I don't understand the point where we feel like this is something that needs to continue in our community. And knowing that this guy is living off somebody else's name and what somebody else did, just coming up in my era listening to rap music, it was corny to sound like somebody. It was corny to imitate them, to even do anything that the next person did was really off. You know, you would lose all your support, and it just seemed like today, that's what rap music is centered around, being like the next person. And I'm thinking, like, how does this progress our community? Because it still just leads to more killing. Why this guy is glamorizing selling drugs is just putting more younger guys in prison because they're thinking they can get away with it.
Hold on, sister. Let me tell you how I describe them. These are more of these pain profiteers. They profit off our pain. We need to come at these motherfuckers, these fuckers hard, you know. And I'm really upset with individuals who go ahead and profit off our pain. I don't care what are you doing, Even if you're a lawyer or you're a doctor or you're the street pharmacist or you're that bastard that's dog fighting in the alley, you know, they're profiting off the pain in the neighborhood, man. And they really, really get on my nerves. I can't stand them. And I think that we need to come at them, the pulpit pimps, all of them. But, you know, it's too many people profiting off our pain. You know, just, and I think you owe dues. It should be time for us to go ahead and collect some kind of damn weight. That's another stick on my belt. That's another time I need to take another stick and smack it in your damn head.
Think about the message. The message, that was what, like 1982, 83, 84, or something like that? That was profiting off of pain. He didn't come with no solutions in that song.
Exactly. More pain profiteers, man. It's sick.
And that's from the earliest, the earliest beginnings of rhyming. And it had no solutions. Just think how the song started off. Broken glass everywhere.
yeah, it started to mess up there. I got another call on line. 619, that's San Diego, isn't it? Hello, 619, your line is... Huh? That ain't you, 619. Hello?
I'm just listening.
Oh, what's your name, brother? Don't run, I got you, don't run. Cool, brother.
Please
cool.
Add to our conversation. I did post the number and ask people to call in to the show.
Oh, you said do what now?
I said I asked people to call into the show.
I know my phone call had dropped. I don't have good service up here in Atlanta.
That ain't cool, man. Well, I'm trying to look and go ahead and try to do something with all that, man, because I spent a little bit more time studying how the networks work, how the networks are comprised, and how to connect them. I spent the last few months doing that. I'm trying to go ahead and get my own servers and see what's happening, how I can go ahead and connect that, because we're paying too much into these systems. It's ridiculous what we pay into this, you know. So it's really, I'm going to do my part in connectors and stuff, man. So I'm working on it. It's an uphill battle because a whole lot of people are afraid of me for some reason. Think I'm a swindler and a snake and all that other shit, man.
that's what we put out as black people doing business.
Yeah, you know.
Representation that some people set for us.
Yeah, you know, and you got people, when I go ahead and run my spiel by them, let them know what I'm doing, people go ahead and look at me sideways and, yeah, okay, well, I'll contact you later. You know, a bunch of little silliness, man, you know, and I've seen that before when I had my restaurant and stuff, so, you know, it's bad. And it just, I can't say it's getting worse, but I know it's consistent, okay?
You know, it's funny you said that, because, like, me and my moms had a conversation about that. About how, you know, people have set standards for everybody. And we
right.
got to talking about that whole Trayvon Martin case, which there was another case that just happened recently. This older man just shot this 13-year-old boy. Same thing, you know, just because, like, somebody robbed his house and he thought the 13-year-old did it. And now that 13-year-old boy had died, you know, got shot to death in front of his parents. And it's sad because the boy didn't do it, you know. But that's what other people have said before that, you know. They're already saying we some monkeys anyway, just running around. And you got people that, you know, go out and do this and do that, you know, because they feel like they got something to prove, which they really don't. And that upsets me. Like, that really upsets me because now I have to wonder – like what's going to happen? Like, if I live to see it, what's going to happen to my children? You know, like, it's getting scary.
You got to worry
that we do that. We do that to each other. And if you think about it, you can look at, like, I hate to use like movies as comparisons to the point I'm trying to make, but you can look at the movie. What was this movie? The second Godfather. where they were showing the early version of, what's his name, Vito Corleone, and Robert De Niro was playing the part. And you can see how the Italians, all the Italians in the community, how they stuck together to get rid of this boss that was blackmailing them and extorting them. And he wasn't extorting the other business owners. He was extorting his own people. But they never turned against their own people. We turn against each other because of things that we know or we see bad happen to one another by each other. We turn on each other, but no other race does that. They still stick together. The Russian mafia, they extort the Russians. But the Russians still stick together. You don't see the Russians running and saying, well, we need to group up with these people or we need to group up with these people to stop these our own people from raping us. No, they still stick together. Even the Asian, what is it, the triads and the Yakutas or whoever the hell they are, they extort each other, but that never stops them from doing business with each other. If we see or hear anything about something like that, we just want to dismiss doing business with all black people. Oh, they all shiesty. Is this something? Like I said, I think that these misconceptions about us are put on us by other people that just sit back and watch us destroy ourselves.
Exactly. And it's getting worse.
Point.
It's getting worse every single day. And just like the brother was just talking about, okay, well, this older man has shot this 13-year-old boy. I just can't let that slip by me.
Yeah, it was in the news.
Yeah, it was in the news.
Yeah, I seen that too. And it probably was a bunch of people saying he's young and he's black, and they probably was black. So he's young,
no,
he's black.
This one here,
he probably did it.
They
Well, see,
they
let me say this real quick. The thing that's upset me more than anything is that not just with Trayvon Martin, you got this kind of situation happening almost every day in almost every city. I'm going to keep on saying that people need to pay attention to that because that is no way you can get around that, especially when it comes to us. This is happening almost every day in almost every city, and it has to stop. We have to go ahead and step up and be men and go ahead and be out front and protect what's going on in the family, in the community, and with our families. And we don't have a lot of us doing it. We got a lot of us running around here dealing with a lot of nonsense. And while, you know, they come in the back door and just taking over and wiping us off the planet. So I really would like to go ahead. And I'm going to look this up, man. I'm going to check this out because I ain't never know. I didn't hear nothing about that. I didn't see nothing about that. And I try to get those to pay attention to what's happening in the news, especially dealing with us and locally and even internationally. I try to look at it. So I didn't see that. When did that happen?
That happened, let me see. I just logged on to the site that I seen it on. It happened, let me see, where is this article at? I know I've seen it. Hold on. Excuse me, it's taking me a little while to get to
it.
I'm looking
for it today.
You saw it on Facebook today?
Yeah, somebody posted it on Facebook today.
Oh, it is. It says, this happened... It doesn't say exactly when this happened. I know it just said a 13-year-old black boy was shot dead by his 75-year-old white next-door neighbor, John Henry Spooner, after falsely being accused of breaking into the shooter's home and stealing guns. WDJT-TV, CBS 58, and Milwaukee reports Spooner has been charged with first-degree
and
homicide.
It's
gone.
He just said it happened in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, and his bond is set to $300,000.
Mm.
Oh, they gonna the National Rifle Association gonna put that money together to get him out.
Probably,
man,
so.
That's awful, man. That's terrible. That's terrible, and we don't.
And it's
a lot
happening
of us,
everywhere. Not too long ago, I think it happened in December. A cop down here in, I think, Fairburn, a cop shot a kid twice in the back, and his defense was the kid tried to grab his gun. and they had a grand jury hearing, and he got away with it. So they having a little rally. I know not too long ago in Buffalo, a judge, he hit and killed, he was driving drunk and killed a black teenager, and they let him go. So it's like our life, us being the least of this population, our life is like, you know, you already at the bottom. Who cares?
Ooh, we and I had
that. Don't kill a black man.
I had a clip about that, man. I didn't put it in here. I wish I had, because he was talking about how they treat us. And I forgot who the brother was. He was talking about because a black life don't mean nothing. So, man, that yeah. Next show, I will have that one, because you got to hear that.
That's the image that they're setting out, especially when they show a black man eating another black man, and they tell you, oh, bath salt. Come on, it's like they're reducing us right back to the one-third of a human being level without us even knowing it.
It was three-fifths, but do you think they're going to reduce it even more next time?
Oh, three-fifths, my bad. Well, it's getting lower than that. You can look at the damn TV, look at the rappers and see it's getting lower than that. They don't even have anything to talk about anymore. Nothing of substance. Nothing uplifting. If you make a song about uplifting the community, it'll never be heard.
Exactly. Because I was listening to
funny. Go ahead.
Well, that's one thing I was paying attention to today, well, the last few days, was how you would never ever hear that, because on one station here in Chicago, I heard more stuff dealing with the Greek restaurant, the Italian restaurant, the Argentinian restaurant, and not one soul food restaurant.
Mm.
I was like, wow, okay. Okay, all right, that's how they do it now.
But those restaurants you name, they make their own version of some soul food.
Say that again?
Pretty sure. I said all the restaurants you name, they have their own version of some soul food.
Oh, exactly. Well, I mean, go to the Filipino restaurant and get ham hocks. They was good in the motherfucking bar.
By the way, I like that picture of those ribs. Those ribs look kind of good.
Yeah, man. I'm going to hook that up. I'm going to do something like that for this weekend. Stay in my backyard and just, you know, shoot fireworks over to my neighbor's yard and hopefully it'll catch on fire, I guess. Man. If I hit them badass kids, go ahead one more damn time. I'll be hearing them yelling. Then the next thing I know, I'll be hitting rocks and throwing at my building. I'll be like, okay, you little fuckers. So I see your dad don't like to water grass. Let me go ahead and throw these fucking bottle rockets over here or something. With straight gasoline.
You're going to have to water again.
I hope it don't rain. So tomorrow's going to be fireworks in my neighborhood. Fuck them.
Well, good luck with that.
Well, you know, the cool thing about being, one of the cool things about being in this area for me, I mean, I know brothers have problems in other places, but shit, my brother's best friend is one of the cops over here, man. I call them motherfuckers be over here right away. Click, pow. I don't have no problems. I get away with a lot of stuff, motherfucker. I had a ticket and he just tore that up, you know. Oh, that's cool. Well, a lot of us ain't got it like that.
Well, I don't know. I think that we need to pay attention to these things that's happening to us, you know, across the country, and we need to relate them and see how they're devaluing our life. You know, it's like we're almost nothing. You think in the next 10 years they're going to be telling us we're 8% of the population, and we're not going to be able to figure that out. And how the hell are we 8% of the population now? What's 13%? They try to blame it on abortion. You know, you have the statistics that a male that's in prison, and you think about it, if he in prison, he ain't making no babies.
Ugh. And then when they get out, they don't want to make no babies because they want to go back to their boyfriends.
Oh, no, that's wrong.
true. I saw it. I was like, wait a minute, man. You had two kids going in, and you get out, you want to go back. I was like, oh my goodness. That was crazy, man.
Well, somebody got to step up. I don't, like I said, I was telling AC, I don't think that we need a leader.
Well,
I think we need a leader for our people, but we need to step up and realize what's being done to us through
okay,
the
well,
music, through the media.
I would say it doesn't have to be a leader per se, but it has to be a message or some kind of guide that we need. One thing we need to follow, and the biggest thing I see is, hey, look, we don't have money. You know, let's not beat around the bush. We don't have money, so we need to figure out ways to go ahead and make money. Money will solve a lot of our problems, because we can go ahead and tackle a lot of issues. We need to make money, so we need to figure out what we can do to make money. And how I see it is, hey, look, you know. You know, everything's been already written for you, so we need to go back to the beginning. You know, just how are they making money off us? Let's go ahead and use them same things to make money off ourselves, and that was agriculture. We need to go back to the ground, make our own stuff, do our own thing, manufacture our own stuff, because everything we're getting from them. Everything we do
well,
every day.
Well, it's a learned behavior. It's a learned behavior. You thinking. Before the Civil Rights era, you would have a ditch digger, he'd go and build him a damn house for his family. Nowadays, a motherfucker just want to sit on Section 8. Fuck building a house, fuck buying a house. I can pretend to be poor and get my rent paid and make this motherfucker rich. Ooh, I'm living good.
So the way it looks, you know, we kind of need them to go ahead and wipe out them programs. So you'd be out here scraping. I've been to countries, man, where they, hey, they get together. They go ahead and make their own bricks. They make their own bricks. They build their own house, you know. They go ahead and take the longest extension cord you ever seen in your life, and they'll go ahead and get electricity, you know. You know, we need to get it like that. That's the only way I see we're going to go ahead and turn things around so you can recognize, hey, look, there's a problem. Because a lot of people don't realize that's a problem.
Well, how could we get rid of the program?
We get rid of what program?
The programs that make people dependent. The programs
that people
feel like they're entitled to. You know, ain't nobody going to never go out and plant a garden if they can get food stamps.
Wait a minute. The people who put the programs in place are the ones who are about to take them away.
Well,
they go ahead, brother.
I think when it comes to that, some people need them now. Now, there are a good little bit of people that abuse it just because they can, but for the most part, I truly, truly, honestly believe some need them. Because you got those that can't work and those who, you know, may have had, you know, that bad moment in life where they just need a little help to get back on their feet.
Oh, I
now,
agree
I'm
with
brother,
that.
That's what the church is for.
Oh,
true.
You
got
to raise.
But here's the thing with the church, which, like, I do, well, I don't know. It's hard to explain it with me and church. But you never know really what church is for you. You know what I'm saying? Because you got a lot of them that when you walk in, they got ATM, you know, right there.
Wow, I heard about that. I've never seen it, though.
And there are a lot of churches who am I to determine who they are, you know, what churches they are. But there are a few that take that money and put it towards other things, you know. I forgot.
The church?
I think it was a movie. Yeah, church. I think it was a movie Don't Be a Menace, the South Central. I think they joked about it, but, you know, when you truly think about it, that goes on for real. When the pastor was like, people worried about why the pastor was driving
a new BMW.
That's my
favorite part of the movie. That was my favorite part of the movie. He said, just give me the money.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, people worried about why pastor's driving a new BMW, why pastor's got a new house, you know. Again, who am I to determine who's doing it? But there are a lot of people that, you know, taking this money and doing other things with it.
Not putting it, see that? Paying profiteers, like I said. Pulpit pimps and paying profiteers.
So,
that's what they call them, pimps in the pulpit.
Man, shoot, man. You know, a friend of mine keep on asking me, say, hey, man, why don't you go ahead and come on to the church, man? You can go ahead and... He's trying to recruit me to be a preacher. Just go ahead, change. Don't worry about it, man. He was trying to tell me the money is involved. I was like, nigga, are you crazy? But then I started thinking about it.
You have to think. That's what most of them get into it for. We can't even ignore that. You've got to know most of them get in it for that. Because if they didn't, they would drop it all. They wouldn't live like that. They would donate it. Even Mother Teresa, dirty ass. She went around the world and collected the money. She ain't keep it for herself.
It is kind of tempting, though. It is kind of tempting.
Go into it for the right reasons, and then you're corrupted.
I'm corrupted already.
So. Well, I'm talking about them preachers. I mean, you can't. I can watch this man on TV, T.D. Jakes, all damn day. Ain't nothing going to make me think he ain't corrupted.
Oh, man, I was watching Clifford Dollar. That's great comedy there.
Now, I will admit, I like Clifford Dollar.
You know what? I wish you was in my chat room, man. I don't think you are, but I got this clip of him dancing on the dollars, man. That is funny. That's funny.
Oh, somebody created that?
No, it's something he did. Man, you got to see it. It's funny, funny, funny. Funny. I wish I could go ahead and put it in the chat room, man, but it's funny. No, I couldn't
look
find it.
Send
it
to me on Facebook. I'll post it.
You know what, man? Yeah, I will. As a matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and put it out there. I'll put it out there. It's funny. He danced on a dollar. He just collected money, bags of money. Dancing and jumping around. I'm like, man, look at this man. Okay, so what's he going to do with all that money? Oh, it's a whole bunch of people that's homeless and all this other stuff. A lot of brothers out here hurting. And he got bags of money. Man.
And he lives, his church is right in my neighborhood. He needs to come and help those people. I mean, he needs to set up some public transportation in that neighborhood. There's no public transportation there.
Come on now. I mean... No. He's got a jet, don't he? I think he may have two, but I know he got one. And he said
he from has... He came from my hometown. He came from my hometown, so...
What town is that?
Thomasville, Georgia. It's small, man. It's really close to Tallahassee.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question there. So he comes from Thomasville, Georgia. How is it in Thomasville, Georgia at the moment?
Bad. It's really bad. Honestly, the white people are pretty much taking over everything.
But he comes from Thomasville, Georgia. So how often do he come back and help the people, the residents of Thomasville, Georgia? When do you know he done came back and go ahead and set up some row houses or something like that?
Me personally, I don't know.
He didn't get no gas cards and nothing like that?
I really don't know. I know his grandmother still stays down there.
Now, see, that's the sad thing. If he's from there and he's making millions of dollars, he's doing. I mean, look at this. Ugly city over there where Pablo Escobar from? That motherfucker, he took that drug money and he built houses for them people.
Exactly.
Everybody knew Pablo built them houses.
Exactly.
Everybody knew what Pablo did with his drug money, but they didn't like Pablo giving his drug money back to the poor people and telling the United States DEA agents, fuck you. They said, we're going to have to take you out. So if this man is making a lot of money and his hometown is bad, anybody from that hometown, even if he ain't did nothing but put a stop sign up, y'all should know it.
He didn't do anything. So he's all in it for the money, and he's in to hang out with white folks. To go here and rub elbows with the white elite in America.
Now, what I have heard, though, is he has he helped out, like, a lot of the prostitution that's going on out there in College Park. Now, I have heard that.
Oh, what'd he do? He pull his hookers off the street?
You said pull his hookers off the
street?
Yeah. I'm sorry, that was funny.
He go ahead and be like, he'd be like, okay, well, hey, look, you know, y'all, you know, he got him, and they probably going to church on Sunday. And then go on out there and work and bring them back and put some money in the collection plate. So what, he pull his hookers? I don't believe that.
I don't know if it's
here. Oh, no, I hear about that.
But
and they're in the church now with him. Okay, so,
No. But he kind of helped get them off.
Hold on. So he took them off that street. So he got them from walking on the street. So now they just straight call girls. What did he do with them? I don't believe none of them. I told you they pulpit pimps and pain profiteers. I don't trust them. I used to watch them when I was growing up. I'd be like, look at this. What the hell? Man, I don't want to get in that. But I used to watch them growing up, man. So, you know, that's why I don't see the game change too much.
Like Eddie Long holding them damn anti-gay rallies, and then look what happened to him. I mean, every time I think of him, that's all I think about. I remember when I first moved down here, and I lived maybe like...
Wait, I didn't know that. Wait a minute. I didn't know he had anti-gay rallies.
Yeah, every year he would hold Bishop Eddie Long. Every year he would hold I think he did it maybe like 2 or 3, maybe 4 years. He would, after the gay pride, he would have like a little march and parade downtown Atlanta, you know, anti-gay.
Hold on, sister. I got a twisted mindset, but so his anti-gay rallies was so he can be walking down the street with his signs, and all he's doing is going ahead. Really, he on a recruitment drive, really, right? That
yeah,
way
him and his church members. I'm pretty sure if you go online, you can pull up because there's this one picture that they always show that's like kind of stuck in my head. Yeah, him with a sign and all the people around him, and they had a little anti-gay parade. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna look for it. And I'm gonna doctor it up, but I'm gonna look for it. Oh my goodness! So
holding an anti-gay parade, and then they come out. You come out with not one, not two, not even three, but like four. Who knows? It could be more.
Oh my goodness! This guy here, man. He sounds more and more like a. Every time I hear anything else about him.
That's something. This is the same dude that was that messed with little kids, wasn't it? Like those little boys.
Yeah. Then somebody tries to say, well, you know, they wasn't little kids because they was above age. Yeah, they was probably above age when they admit to doing it. But these kids today, he was their father figure from like 12 and up.
Yeah, it's kind of disgusting. With like teenagers stuff, you know, hanging out with teenagers and stuff. Not like that white boy who was just straight raping your little fucking 10-year-olds. Not like that white boy over there, Sandusky dude. But either way it go, it's still nasty as hell.
That's calculated. It's one thing to grab a little kid and stick your dick in his ass. It's another thing to grab the little kid and give him candy and treat him good,
baby.
And do all this forever.
Okay. Ooh, I need to play a song. The graphics was just too fucked up for me.
I don't mean to fuck you up with the graphics, but, I mean, you're thinking this man, he really did his job in putting in the work to make these kids trust him. And by him waiting until they was old enough to actually carry out the act, I think that's premeditated.
I think that's how they really want us. You know, the more controlling, more able to go ahead and control us.
They can do all kinds of setup.
Say that again?
I see. You think it was a setup?
No. Let me look at it a little bit more, man. I got to check it out a little bit more, man. It's a lot of stuff around here. Might have been a bunch of them doing stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody. People never know exactly the full truth.
Yeah, because you know the one dude who saw it, who didn't want to go ahead and back, and, you know, with the Sandusky dude, the one guy saw it, but he didn't say nothing. You know, hey, might have been some more. I'm doing that. You know that. That's kind of like making me mad. Hell. Shit. Now, how do you protect the babies? It's time to protect the babies. Especially, you know, these kids here, they need a whole lot of protecting. Their minds are getting twisted, messed up.
Well, what would help is if, little 12-year-old girls, 12 and 13-year-old girls, stop having kids, and their babies
fail. Hold on. You know what? It was something. How do I put this, bro? I don't mean no disrespect, but I kind of, in a way, we need to take care of them kids, even if they having babies. Okay.
You said take care of them.
Yeah, we need to take care of them babies.
I understand where you're coming from. Like, I don't get offended because I understand. I completely do. But the reason I said that, you know, like, that's what I think is, like, really messing them up is...
But if they're the only ones having babies, I mean, like, we need to go ahead and produce, you know, to go ahead and increase our numbers. I really think we do. I mean, we can't go ahead and shun that the whole lot. You know, they're the only one producing. But, you know, it's that, you know, they're like 12 years old, 13 years old, and this guy's like maybe 30. That, we need to whoop his ass, though.
Okay.
Don't get it twisted now. If he up there, you know, he need his ass whooped, though. But the babies, we need to go ahead and definitely take care of them. I mean, I've seen some people go ahead and, you know, their daughter got pregnant, and they go out in the street and stuff. I mean, that's wrong. Don't do that. No. Okay, it took two of them. You ain't jumping on that guy who go ahead and got her pregnant or convinced her that's the best thing for her or the condom don't feel good. Let me go ahead and raw dog. You know, hey,
they are not responsible or mature enough for that responsibility. And to make it so bad, the parents that they have are not responsible enough for the responsibility. So I would have to agree. Because we're not raising responsible children these days. And there is no rites of passage. By us not having a rites of passage, people don't think they grown until they're 30, 35. They can have 5, 6 kids. They still don't think they grown.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that. But that wasn't what I was saying. What I'm saying is that the product of that, that offspring, that child, that's something we should still go ahead and try to embrace a lot more. Because that child is going to need a lot more love because it go ahead and keeps that cycle going. You see what I'm saying?
You know who I'm really upset at? And this is why, like, it's some white people I really agree with. Because they actually, I don't know if you watched the MTV Awards.
Mm-mm. It was too many white folks for me.
You said what's going on?
It was too many white folks for me.
Okay. But on there, one of the guys said he came up for an award, and he was like, what they need to do is stop taking these reality shows off because they're not keeping real music on there. Like, for example, that 16 and Pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, that show that's really hurting. That's her.
Hey, hold on. She just I think that's the same. No. Wait a minute, bro. It's one of them little things here. She just got 5 years. She just got sentenced to 5 years. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, that was her. That was one of the girls off of there.
Yeah.
She's one of them ones. This girl. What is it? She did something. I forgot what was it she did.
She was an evil little witch is what she was. That's what she was.
Yeah, something. And that was just, it was so messed up. But it's shows like that, and you got to think about it. When these little kids get home, they get home like what? They get out of school 3 o'clock, home by no later than 3:50. Their parents is getting off at 5 o'clock. 16 to pregnant come on like 3:30, 4 o'clock. So these little kids are looking at this. Think of the timing now when this show comes on. It comes on around the time they get out of school, so they're looking at this, and it's like, oh, it's making it okay to look at it.
Hmm.
And that's really hurting the future. Like, really, really hurting.
Well, yeah,
so
now they don't know what to do.
And something else,
they don't know what to do. If they don't know, if you have a child, and the allure of having a child is so I can have a boyfriend, or so I can be out of my mother's house, or the biggest one, so I can have somebody to love me. It's all for the wrong reason. You don't even know why you're doing this, and it's, you done brought a kid in the world. The kid has a job before it knows his name, and it's already a setback.
Mm. That's okay. I got tears now.
I mean, you see, it's already a setback to do it like that. So you never know. I believe it.
That's sad.
What I was saying earlier about. I think that they put these things in our community for us to emulate, and we don't realize the dangers of the things that's going on around us. For instance, our population is declining, and we can't even figure out why.
Mm. Wow, that's...
don't even know why.
Heavy.
I can't tell you. I don't know. I think it's because, I think it's because we're killing each other off. And I think that we are being provoked to kill each other off. I mean, if you think a young kid, a young girl, she has a kid, I mean, she's already on the wrong path. 9 times out of 10, you're thinking that she have a kid by a young guy. He's a kid, and he's already set up by the system. Already, so you know his life already hurt. If she have a kid by an older man, now they probably looking at him like you a child molester. Somebody's trying to put him in jail.
Well,
Okay,
well, you know what I said a little while ago about the guy. She's 12 and he's maybe in his 20s or he's 30. He need his ass whooped. Okay. I stick by
you
that.
Know what, you would say that now, but think back in the days before we had these laws, if some man got with some child, that was for life.
Okay, but, a little bit, that was some naive stuff, too. They just, this now is like, you know, it's like a baby, okay, so. I can't get
when they did that,
he wanted some babies.
I think you wanted them to be babies. I mean,
no, he wanted some babies.
He manipulates.
And just go ahead and run up in a baby. Come on now. That ain't good. I don't like that.
I know they do it over there in the Middle Eastern.
Oh, I've been over there. Them people over there nasty.
Yeah, they just nasty.
Look, man, they nasty. The stuff I saw, I was like, ooh, and the stuff these guys was telling, I was like, no, they was telling me, no, man, you better get on back with that.
Man, you may want your little 13, 14-year-old girl to be a baby. You may want that, but she's a woman. If she got a period, she's a woman. Nothing can go back. It's never going to be a moment where she can go back in time and remember how it felt to
hold on, sister. I love you dearly, but you know, what you're talking with, for me, that would get some old bastard's dick cut off. Okay, I'm gonna be honest about it. Okay. Okay. Let her grow up a little bit and experience some stuff. That's how I see it. Experience some stuff, you know, before you go ahead and do this. Oh, no.
But you can't have it both ways. Because when you say grow up, you gotta you're making them not grow up till they 30, they 40. Because by you ignoring the fact that she's a woman don't mean that she ain't going to have a baby by the time she's probably 18. Most likely before then. And while you still treating her like a baby, you're going to skip all the time telling her woman things she's 12. Supposed to know.
Not at 13, yes. Not at 12. 18, I can deal
yes.
with.
When
okay,
I see what she's
no going back.
I can deal with that.
When she gets her period, Rob, ain't no going back when she gets her period. You can treat her like she's a baby all you want. But what you need to be doing is preparing her for being a woman because now she is a woman.
I'm going to prepare her to go ahead and know that motherfucker got castrated.
Now, I understand where she's coming from. Like I understand now. Because what she's saying is when she starts smelling herself, ain't no turning her. She's going to want to explore.
Okay.
So I kind of... Which
hello?
Honey, you're breaking up. Say that again. You were breaking up.
I said, I see where you was coming from because at first when you started explaining it, I was with him like, yeah, he'll be castrated. But as the more you start talking about it, I see where you were coming from because once her period come on, she's going to start smelling herself.
But once her period comes, she's able to be a mother.
Wait, I get that. I'm with that. Hold on, baby. Hold on. Let me say this. I get that. I understand that. I'm with that 100%. But the thing is like, hey, look, when it's like that, when she just started going and smelling herself, get a period, and some bastard had already been going ahead and screwing a whole bunch already, and can go ahead and manipulate this child to go ahead and give him some, that's what I'm talking about. Okay?
I'm going to tell you something. And this is straight honesty right here. I'm going to tell you something. This is straight honesty right here. Most kids learn about sex from their cousins and family members before they even ate.
Yeah, really? Shoot, I started having sex early.
I mean, the first person you probably had sex with was probably your cousin, your little friend next door, sister.
Yeah.
Sure
like that. See that? See? Listen
so
to you. See?
So to ignore it and think that is everybody but your child that's doing
well,
this, this is ridiculous. And by us having these retarded ass expectations, we slip up and now we got kids having kids. Because the reason why they having kids is because when they come home, they your kid. But when they go outside in the street, they grown adults. Don't believe me? Think about last time you rode public transportation and you see 13, 14-year-old kids just getting out of school. Yeah, man, fuck that little girl. I'm going to my man's house and all that. You thinking, damn, you 14, 15. But you don't think, damn, that could be my 14, 15-year-old. No, I'm still a baby. They still innocent.
I think it probably can get to a point where it's like, hey, look, they don't even go ahead and leave the house. Like, yeah, I sent my mama off to work. Let that bitch go ahead and make that paper. My daddy, he ain't doing shit. I'm going to be going ahead and send his ass to court.
Come on, you know how these kids is when they're not around their parents. When they're around their parents, they're innocent little kids. But then you wonder why your kid come home 13, 14 years old pregnant because you thought they was a kid. You ignored the fact that they really was an adult. When that little boy, he starts shooting cum on his dick, he ain't about to try and play with no damn Tonka trucks no more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the way it is now... He's not even trying to fuck the little girls his age no more. He's trying to fuck the older women. Because now they looking at little boys.
Oh, you know what? You brought... Oh, my goodness. Okay, I ain't trying to say nothing about any sisters out here. But I had never... I saw this. I saw here... I ain't going to say that. But it... Yeah, that is a problem about... The little boys, they run around here trying to go ahead and jump. I'm like, wait a minute, don't be trying to advance. He's trying to go to the big leagues. Stay on down there with the little leagues, you know. But you might be stepping on my toes. I'm going to have to go ahead and crush your little ass or something. You little fuck.
Man, cultures have rites of passages for their young ones, and they know when this time
comes.
Hold
on, baby.
Look at the Arabs. Look at the Mexicans. They even have little parties for the kids.
I know that. I done been to them, man. They wild as hell. They drink like a mug. But I can't be having to, you know, we got to go ahead and try to deal. I try to deal with their young brothers, okay? And I try to let them know, hey, look, man, let's try to handle this way. Because I see, you know, I watched, like the one little cat I watched, I said, your approach is all messed up, man. You got to do things a little bit different. And he started working on it, but he was a little rough. And I seen other groups go ahead and bring the little, you know, bring the little guys in, and they, you know, they do some real nice stuff for them. You know, they put them out there. They talk to them. You know, we ain't talking to a lot of our young people, and that's the problem. I don't think so.
I think we are talking to them.
We ain't talking to them the right way. To them on their level. We got to get on their level. If they laying on the floor, you lay on the floor. But that, we not talking to them on their level. We talking at them, but not with them, not including them.
But yeah, how can you get on their level when you in denial of who you talking to?
Yeah, I agree.
You looking at this little 13, 14-year-old girl as a kid, but in reality, you are talking to an adult. She has
I'm looking at it.
If
she my daughter and some guy that's, you know, 29, 30 and then go ahead and knocked up, I got a problem with that, okay? He done manipulated my kids.
But this is the thing. You worried
about him. I mean,
he'd
probably been watching her, sitting there watching her being a pedophile. That's some sick shit.
No, you worrying about a maybe instead of instilling the things that your child need to make right decisions as an adult in them. If these kids came out with these things, you wouldn't see these little girls going for these men. You thinking these men, they go for these girls because they have no intention on being with them. These men, they knew they wasn't going to fuck these little kids. You fucked a little 13-year-old, that was your wife for the rest of your life.
I'm going to go sharpen my knives as we. I'm going to go get my stuff. I'm a chef for real. You know, don't think that, but I'm a chef for real. And I sharpen my. You know what? I'm getting my stuff ready. I want to be razor sharp. One good swipe, I ain't got no problem. I can go ahead. I didn't deal with that. Okay.
I think my grandmother was maybe 16, and my grandfather was maybe like 24.
But see, but then I can go ahead and say he had love for her. Then I can say that. Okay?
That's my point. You know, if these little girls don't have the discretion to say if a man loves them or not because they haven't been taught. All they've been taught is you better stay a little kid.
See, that's what I mean. See, and this guy know that. So he just want to go ahead and get that starch off his back, so to speak.
That's what I mean. You have to say to your kid, you ain't a kid. You're an adult now. Well, you don't have to actually say that, but you have to start the process.
Okay. I get what you're saying. Okay. That communication.
You have
thing.
To start
must...
the process so your kid ain't running around trying to get the hell away from you and thinking I can get with this 26-year-old and live the grown life. No, prepare for the grown life.
Damn it, that's another stick.
You know what
you
I
don't
think?
Don't jump
with
into the grown life. You prepare for the grown life.
You know what I honestly think that scared kids back into, you know, reality is, you know, just like she said, tell them now, like kind of scare them up now for what's going to come ahead. Kind of like a reverse psychology role. And that would, you know, like prepare them for getting, like, you know, tell a young kid you're gonna get pregnant. That's going to scare them. That's going to really scare them. I'm not having no kids, you know. So I kind of like what she just said.
I agree with what she said, but I'm going to throw this in there. Why don't we just keep telling the damn truth, okay? Ain't no damn Santa Claus, so let's not play that damn game. I'll give you some gifts, but let's not play that game. Let's tell the truth all the time. What life is all about, what it is. You can't go here and be going here and having them, you know, them crazy stuff about this imaginary, all that other fantasy stuff. I'm going to keep you away from that. I agree with that. That's why at least if my daughter go ahead at 12, she would go ahead and know a whole lot of stuff. Well, hey, look, let me stay away from these motherfuckers that's 29 years old because all they want to do is go ahead and get some pussy and go ahead and have a baby. And I think you should go ahead and tell a little bit, be a little bit more factual and be upfront with kids. A lot of people don't know how to do that.
I think that's what messed it up for guys like me. Because I fall up under that good guy role, you know, and the ones
what,
that really do want to be in relationships don't
hold on,
get
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. But you're going to tell me that good guy role? Let me tell you that good guy role. That good guy role got my ex-wife to steal $11,000 from me. I was like, you bitch. So were you in that boat?
I was like, oh man,
I don't say that, but man, oh shit, I was like, wait a minute now, come on, $11,000, and I was like, wait, and believe it or not, he was working on more. I had caught it.
That's kind of tough when you
say
stole.
He said she was working on more.
Ooh, she was working on more. Yeah, she was about to hit me up for a whole lot once she got that. And thought she got away with it. But, ooh, no. Mm-mm. It was about to get real bad for me. What the hell?
I'll tell you about it.
Maybe
that's what we need to do. Go ahead.
I'll tell you about it one day. But we can't go ahead and stop trusting people, though. You know, we got, you know, a lot of people messed up out here for whatever reason. So, no, and we got to go ahead.
And silly. That's all it is. Ignorant and silly.
And we got to go ahead and try to talk to each other. If we don't talk to each other, go ahead and figure out what's going on. We don't want we won't know what's going on. A lot of us want to run from each other, hide from each other, look through the blinds and everything, be like, okay, what's so and so, and go ahead and create stories about people and stuff to go ahead and we'll talk to them.
You know what hurts, though? Go ahead.
What is that?
No, you go ahead and finish what you were saying.
No, go ahead, brother.
The thing that hurts the most with all of that is people act like they can't talk to each other no more without it. Oh, you think you better than me? Or it's never what the person's saying. It's the interpretation that the other person is making. And that right there just hurts so bad because they go, oh, you think you better than me? And, you know, what you think you doing this? Well, I can't do it. And it's nothing like that. It's just if I know something you may not know and I'm trying to share it with you, you know, why are you upset? Because I would hope for the same thing.
Wait, hold on. That part there, when you try to share some things with some of our people, they go ahead and they throw their fists up and they get back here and they go ahead and box, go to war with you. You know, more ways than one. But you got to go ahead and, you know, let them know that, hey, look, you want to go ahead and, you know, you want to bring some flowers and some daisies or something like that. You know, hey, look, it's peace, man, peace. You got to go ahead and let them know that because our people are ready to go ahead and defend their beliefs and whatever they feel right away with their lives in a lot of instances. So, you know, you can't go ahead and give up. I refuse to give up at this point. I keep on trying to pound that message. I can't keep going to war with my brothers and sisters, man. Nah. I may go here and say some crazy stuff to them, man, but I can't keep going to war. We can't. We got to go here and then go ahead and drop your guard and throw some flowers out there. And a beer summit, a daiquiri, some of this wine I've been drinking or something. But we got to go here and be good with each other.
So our decline is from a lack of
communication. What?
Communication.
That's the biggest thing. We don't know how to communicate with each other. We don't know how to talk to us. And as long as we keep on doing that, we don't know what the next person's feeling. We don't know what the next brother and sister's feeling. You know, we got to go ahead and know what they're feeling so we can go ahead and identify with that pain so we can try to do something about that pain. So, because a lot of us share the same problems. We're not going ahead dealing with that. We got to go ahead. We share the same issues. We've got the same problems. So let's do something together. Can't go ahead and do nothing the way we've been doing stuff now. That shit ain't working. That shit just making us worse. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
One day people open up their eyes. Hopefully it'll be before it's too late.
It ain't going to be too late, bro. This struggle going to be going for a long time beyond us, man. But we got to go ahead and keep it going. You got to realize that. And that's one of the, I think another problem that we have is when an individual tell you, I'm ready to die for it. Them motherfuckers ain't ready to die for shit.
I don't know. I'm trying that a silly thing. I'm ready to live for something. I'm not. People forget you when you die. I want to live for something. I don't want to die for stuff.
Exactly. You know, hey,
so I mean, some people say shit that I just don't understand. I don't understand when people say that.
That death stuff is permanent. That's it.
Who said that?
So let's figure out a way to survive.
We
got to figure out a way to survive. I mean, you can get out here and try and fight.
I think it was D.L. Hughley. He said the scared motherfucker is always there to tell how that brave motherfucker got killed.
So. I ain't going to lie with this one. I chill with the scared one sometimes. Sometimes it's good to be scared. Cause sometimes it is. Sometimes. I don't mind being that coward. You know, I always grew up. I'd rather be a live coward than a dead hero.
I can't go ahead and say that being that coward thing, but I'm going to do what I can. I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to confront a whole lot of shit. You know, that's how I grew up. Can't go ahead and do that shit.
It's
a whole lot of times, you know, I walk to school, and, man, I'm by myself, and the niggas down at the corner, man, them motherfuckers don't do nothing but gamble all day, steal all day, and they see me going to school, and I got to go ahead and fight my way through them. I got to keep pushing, man. And, you know,
in some situations, I stand up.
It was loud as hell.
What that was.
Ooh,
Rob playing Clip.
Say
that
again?
Rob playing Clip. So you playing Clip?
No, that's one of my phones going off.
I got a friend of mine is locked up in Mexico, and I'm like, ooh, man, y'all got some issues. They locked up in Mexico, and the Mexican police don't want to let them out.
It's a dirty place down there.
Oh man, I got friends way south, man. I got friends. I go down there and hang out with them. Then another guy I know, sometimes he go here and he helps me out. You know, I come down there and help work with his family, do some cooking jobs, and go here and do a little teaching down there. You know, so but man, I mean, it's rough over there. You know, if you got money, you can live real good. You live well. You ain't got money. That's the kind of racism they got over there is not based on color. It's based on economics, finance.
Mm.
Okay. So,
if you got money,
if you got money, you good. If you ain't got no money, they go ahead and they treat you terrible, man. Let me okay, brother. Hold on a minute. Let me take a quick break. Right. Check this out real fast.
Shan for smoke the coke, Mr. Ease about me, nay. Shan, Mr. Cat, come for tell it to the nay. Shan, Crockhead, you too greedy. I beg on no Philippi crap fine. Crockhead, you too greedy. On a dead day, you're not stopping to all night. Put a bye bye. From Mr. Pies, not stop, stop them, find it in a tobacco. And cigarettes are kill, we and not give, we cancer. Well, crack a ton, the youth, them I say in a papa. And doctor find the cure, nor in the marijuana. If you're sick and you're not fit, and you feel lick the salwa. And a little laugh for that, you all go feel salwa. Well, Rasta gauge it up and pass it through the window. I said the cut is like a traffic gas cylinder. And when I slap it and I pass it to my neighbor. Neighbor when him slap it and the cut, he gets a fire. Him go down upon him knee and give some praises to Jaja. Said all his jam bun and him say more weed it there. Why crack it so greedy? A time for none of the crack pipe. I want you to listen to the truth. Crack it and mash up the future in the youth. Crowd of people, 21 gun salute. It's on my sister, them in a punk coat. Wanna hear right?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, really. Old white people.
How? Explain that.
Well, you have a book where most people get, they think they get their so-called morals and rights and wrongs from this book that was, it was authorized by a white dude. He's old and dead now. And it's a lot of old white people that's been making the laws forever, and before they was making the laws, they uncles and stuff and people they married, families they married into was making the laws, you know, when we got no black senators. The one and two that we done had over the years, they ain't did nothing. And,
so why should we...
old white people that live up in the Vatican that tell you what's right and wrong. So, I mean, like, everywhere you look around, you can't get around that. Who says what's right and wrong? Old white people.
Why we listen to that?
I don't listen to that shit. I mean, rap music tells people what's right and wrong. Who owns the companies that actually comes out with the music and tell these people what to do? Old white people. Who owns the radio stations that tell these people what songs to put into rotation that's influencing people to think and do what they do? Old white people. So, I mean, there's no way you can get around that. Who tells people what's right and wrong? Old white people do.
Okay. It ain't funny no more. It's kind of painful you said it that way.
Well, it's true. All white people tell people what's right and wrong.
I think I'm going to need therapy now. That's disturbing. But true. But very
I mean,
true.
you can get your rights and wrong from the Bible. But as long as you claim that it's from the Bible, that's an old white person's version.
Wow.
Most of your school curriculums, who is they written by? Some old white people. Oh no, I'm like being really, serious right now. Old white people, they. It's only going to be some individuals. It is just very few individuals, but then they revert back to the sayings of old white people, too. No, nobody want to be an individual these days. Most black people start to come out and say they're atheists.
Yeah, I see that, too. You know, because I get people going and saying, hell, man, I understand what you're saying, but, something happened, scared. You got to keep on. You got to stay with them. Can't give up on your people.
I'm not giving up. It's a way that you can be part of the equation and still be yourself. My right hand is a part of my body, but it's still my right hand. Sometimes it's good. I wanted to. That was a joke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, all white people tell us what's right and wrong. We can't get around that.
That is disturbing. I'm trying to go ahead and put a grasp on the whole thing, trying to go ahead and put that into perspective because it's so true. I don't want to go ahead and... Man, I just gotta figure out a way to do something about it, that's all. It's a way out. Prison break.
Why do black preachers preach the way they do?
Why do they?
I don't know. Why do they? I'm asking you. I know that was just like kind of like out of left field, but I always thought it was because they didn't know how to read. Back in the day, so they put on a show.
Oh, they gotta put on.
Why do they do it?
They gotta put on the show and be dramatic because they need your money.
You know that's how they talk.
They need your money.
I'm starting to wonder why are people in the conscious community starting to conduct their shows in this voice, the way that the black preacher talks?
Because that's how you get into people's heads. Need that support and that money.
Well, you know that's one thing we know they didn't learn from the white person. Or maybe they did. I don't know. I never heard a white person preach like that. But everything we have here anyway, I can't really speak for another place because it's the only place I've ever been.
In Georgia, they do that a lot?
No, I mean America.
Oh.
Canada don't count. So.
Oh, Canada's cool. I like it up there.
Well, I've been to Canada, but, you know, it's still on the same continent, so it's not far enough to a way to say it's something different as far as the people and the society and stuff like that. But I don't know. Maybe that's what I should do, just to bring it up. You'll let me know the topic for your next show, but just to look it up, I'm going to see, has their population declined when it comes to black people? Because black people come here all the time. We see Africans and Haitians and all of them. We see them come here all the time. And I'm pretty sure that they come over here in the illegal numbers just probably as much as any other ethnic group. I mean, like, maybe Puerto Rican, not Mexicans, but maybe Puerto Ricans or Italians, but they don't seem to be declining. They seem to be growing.